in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. That's what the Corinthians were doing at that time. He was noting they do get together, but not always from the best perspective. So verse 18, for first of all, when you come together as a church, I've heard that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. And so it was a situation, a difficulty at that time, and he was dealing with it. And he says, verse 19, and there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, he says, when you come together. Here's what we want to deal with this morning. Here we are, we're coming together in one place. He says, is it not to eat the Lord's Supper? Well, that's our reason here together this morning hour. That's the portion of the worship time with regard to it. And all the service being that which points to the Lord and adores him. Verse 21, for in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. He's saying that they were doing this, and this was wrong that they were doing it. You know, they were bringing a meal, having a meal, but each one kind of brought their own sack lunch. And those that didn't have money enough or any food to bring, they sat while the others ate in front of them. Verse 22, so he says, what? Don't you have houses to eat and drink? You know, eat your meals at home. Or do you despise the church of God, speaking of the people there, and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. And then he uses that background to give the message with regard to what we're observing this morning hour. When he says, for I receive, here's how it's to take place. So they come together to eat the Lord's supper. Here's the way it's to be. Does I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you? I've told you this before. I've already delivered it to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, as he took bread, and when he had given thanks, the bread he has in hand. It says he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same manner also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Something brand new is taking place. It's the beginning of the church. This do, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show or you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whosoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So here's what's to be done. But let a man, let a person, let each one examine himself. We pause and have the Word of God to work in our hearts, and we ask the Lord to cleanse us of any sin we've been harboring and stuff we've been hanging on to. Or if we're here and we haven't believed on Christ, there's a great opportunity and time and place to believe on Christ, ask Christ to be our Savior. So he says in verse 28, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body or the ministry and the workings in the way of the church. Because of that, he says there's difficulties in it, and you can see that as you read on. I just want to talk on really just one little section, one little bitty part this morning hour. I think it's very vital and important to us, and that is the Lord's Supper is symbolic. The Lord's Supper is symbolic. Here we have some nice looking clean dishes, and in them we have the two items that are spoken about several times in those verses. And you know, in the one there's some bread or some crackers. It is bread in either form, and you know, you do know that when the bread came, it didn't come from some religious outsourcing place where a whole bunch of people blessed it in some way. You do know that, right? I assume it was bought at some local store. I don't know. That's my guess. And you know, there's been no special group of people who have stood around it and said, you know, Lord, bless it and make it to be something special. That hasn't taken place. Same with the cup, you know, the juice. I don't know if it's Welch's or not, but it doesn't matter. Welch's grape juice, you do know that Mr. Welch was a godly man, and because there was not available the juice that might be used at wartime with regard to communion as a godly man, he developed that, what's known as Welch's grape juice today, because it was used primarily for churches. And so it's juice. There are some churches that still believe that it ought to be wine, ought to be that right in that way from the vine, but and think that is the right way to use it, and that we use the fruit of the vine, the grape juice. I always had fun up in the state of Maine because one of our men was allergic to grape juice. And so there would always be filled for him a little cup of a grape lemonade or Kool-Aid. And we'd try to keep it separate. And he would pick it up and have it for himself. And the emphasis being upon that of partaking with us together. The Lord's Supper is symbolic. The bread, we just talked about it. The juice are symbolic. These two symbols were appointed by Christ to represent his body. He's the bread come down from heaven. And his blood. He who never sinned. The purity with regard to that. By way of these two symbols, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, is vividly presented to our hearts and minds. Also, as a believer in Jesus here today, as you are and you partake, then you're expressing a clear and yet a very simple, significant fact of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. You are saying, I believe Christ died in my place on a cross because of my sin. While together we silently or solemnly partake of a little piece of bread and a little cup of the fruit of the vine, while we do that silently, these symbols speak very loudly and distinctly with great significance of what they stand for, why we partake of them. By partaking, as a partaker, you're declaring, you know, you're declaring, you're not just remembering, you're certainly doing that, and you're not just doing it together, but we're certainly doing that. But by partaking, you're declaring a personal reliance and belief that Jesus Christ alone is your Savior. Your Savior from your sin. Your Savior from hell. Do we believe Christ is present? Well, yes, we can say we do, but not in the elements. But since Christ is always present, that great Bible truth, he's omnipresent, we would say, well, Christ is here, and it's not just because of the elements of his table, but it's because he is present. When Christ, laying on the dining couch after the Passover meal, and he held up a piece of bread, you can see it in verse 24, he said, "This is my body." It's symbolic. He was affirming that symbolic fact. This, the piece of bread, represents my body. And then you go down and you read verse 25, and we have the cup. This cup, this juice, represents my blood. Symbolic. Any other meaning or interpretation, and there are many. Any other meaning or interpretation brings about an unnatural construction or meaning of the words of the Lord. Any other meaning or interpretation makes a piece of bread and some juice to be some sort of mystic, mystery, superstitious, even cultic type of situation. The bread and the fruit of the vine are simply that. They are what they are. Nothing more, nothing less. They are symbolic. The two items symbolize the death of Jesus Christ in the flesh on the cross, so as to pay for our sins, as we talked about back in Romans chapter 5. Now look at verse 26, please. And then we're going to share the Lord's table here in just a moment. Verse 26, where he says, "As often as you eat this bread," here we are doing it together, and you've done it many times, "and drink this cup," here we are doing it together, and you've done it many times, "you're doing something." He says, "As often as you do this, you're not just partaking of a piece of bread and drinking some juice, but you're doing much more than that. You are doing that, and that's important. And what this that you are doing is this: you're proclaiming something. You're showing something. You're giving a witness. You're declaring, making known the Lord's death till he comes. You believe that what he said about his death and that of taking care of your sin was actually what took place. So if or as you partake these very simple, simplistic, wonderful symbols, you are declaring, making known your personal reliance upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a testimony. We want to know what the will of the Lord is, he says in Ephesians. This is the will of God, that the local church carry on this which Christ ordained. He set forth for us to do it. Remembrance of him. That's why when you sung your songs unto the Lord, they were songs that remind you of who you are and who Christ is and what's happened in your life because of Christ. And so we express in our songs our faith and our belief. And it's a testimony to other believers around us that this is what we believe. Christ being the head of the church, we're obedient to him. And we don't make So we don't make the Lord's table to be anything different than what it is. Something very simple, simplistic, very pointed. So the emphasis is not upon anything that might take place around it or upon the individuals, but the emphasis is upon Christ, the remembrance of Him. That's why together, and I'll take you back there now to Romans 5. We read what we did there in chapter 5, you some and me some, and I guess I was greedy, I read the bigger portion. But when Romans 5 and 6, when we were still without strength, it means we're remembering we were helpless. We were unable to, you were unable to do anything to bring yourself to God. You're unable to take care of your sin. You're unable to, in and of yourself, have any assurance of not going to hell. So he says, when we were still without strength in our great weakness, in our great lack, he says, in due time, at the right time, the perfect time, Christ died. He rescued us from our sins, we the ungodly. And he gives that illustration, and I read that to a man. I'd gone to his house to talk to him about the Lord. He lived in a little town in Maine, and the night I went to his house to talk to him, the house was full of people, and I did not realize, as in many little towns, little burgs, he was the town clerk, and everyone was there to do whatever business they did it, because he worked days, so he was a clerk at night. So if you want to see him, that's when you went. And so I went in, I waited, and I said to him, I've come to talk to you about the things of the Scriptures, but it seems like a little awkward time. I'm glad to do it, but maybe I can come back another time. And he gave me a time, and I went back, and I read this portion of Scripture to him out of chapter 5 of Romans. And as I remember, and I don't always recall everything exactly right, but it wasn't long. Very short time before his wife called, appreciated it, and visited, and would I have his funeral? And I, a little taken back, he'd passed, you know. And I did. And at the funeral, I read the same portion of Scripture and brought a message from it and told him these are the words that he heard just a short while ago. Whether he believed on Christ or not, I do not know. But I know what the Scriptures say. And we're to know what the Word of God says. And I encourage you, as I said to them there at the gravesite, to consider what's being said here. And our individual need of Christ as Savior. And as we gather here today, we're reminded that by His great grace He has redeemed us. And as we remember together this time of the Lord's table we're going to be serving at this time, that our minds, our thoughts are not on what's going to happen later today or sometime this week, but we will be together to realize some little bitty symbols items represented here are expressing Christ. Might they indeed be very precious. Might the simplicity of it have our minds upon Him. We're going to pray together and we'll have the men come and help to serve. Our Father, we thank You for the time to be together and to be allowed. Perhaps, Father, for some here, it'll be the last time they'll hear the Word of God. And we would have to ask, what will they do with what they've heard today? Will be this the last hour, the last moments upon earth, the last week? And will our thoughts and minds be upon Christ or upon the multitude of things that are going on in a world that's headed for death and hell. Might you in your great grace bring to our minds remembrance of the things of Christ and the cross, the gloriousness of him and his great love to pour out upon us a little table of remembrance. That it, as a table, believers here as they partake, would be a witness to others around them, here present and those out and about, of the wonderful love of Jesus. Thank you for it, as we pray in Christ's name. Amen.